For more information on Victory Faith Centre and to download sermons at no charge, visit www.victoryfaithcentre.org.au.
And each person hearing this, they have their hearts open and a desire to seek the Lord and to hear what the Spirit is saying and to know that the testimony of Jesus is a spirit of prophecy. And we thank you, Lord, that you are speaking and using people on earth today to further your message and understanding of truth. We thank you that we have open hearts to actually comprehend, spiritually comprehend the truth of your teachings and of what the Spirit is saying. We thank you for that. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. Today we're looking at being open to the Spirit of God, being open to the Spirit, and as we want to establish, being open to the Spirit is not some made up thing here, but we have to turn to Scripture because God shows us in the Bible very clearly about things to do with the Spirit. So if we're going to understand this area, let's turn into 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 18. So our basis of knowing about the Spirit of God is because we've got the message of God written down for us, and that it can be taught, and as it's taught upon the Holy Ghost who is present. So not only do you have the Bible, which is a fixed set of words, but you have the Holy Ghost present that's able to give what we'll call elucidation, fill out the understanding of what's there to us, and that's where, because the Holy Ghost will be in you as you're reading that, or the Holy Ghost is using the minister to teach things to you, but the Holy Ghost is in you, you'll actually be able to grasp the truth of what's being communicated by the Spirit of God through Scripture. So we have the Word, and we have the Holy Ghost present to give the understanding of those words. So there's two very important components. And the place where those two things meet more than anywhere is in the congregation of the believers, because the Bible is being preached in church, and obviously it's a place where the gathering of Spirit-filled Christians is, where the Spirit can move, because the Spirit isn't just in one person, but is in all believers, and therefore is each believer having the Spirit of God, then one can minister to another of a component from the Holy Ghost of what gifts that person has to offer to the whole or to everyone else. So that's an overview of the relationship between the Word and the Spirit. And so let's look in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 18, and it tells us about how we are to be walking in the spiritual area. 2 Corinthians 4 verse 18 says, while we look not, so first thing right there is we are looking. So we are looking somewhere. We are spiritually aware with our spiritual eyes open, looking. He says, while we look not, meaning we're not looking at a certain area, we're looking somewhere else. While we look not at the things which are seen, that is physically, but at the things which are not seen. So we're looking at spiritual things, things that are not physically seen with the eyes, naturally. For the things which are seen, that's the natural physical universe, are temporal. But the things which are not seen with the natural eyes are eternal. So we can understand that is what the Bible means here. He never said Christians are blind to everything. What he's saying is we are to be selective in where we're actually looking to. We're selective because we're saying, I look to the spiritual first, not the natural first. I'm looking to the spiritual, and what I see in the spiritual is the reality, is the truth. So that's the first step. So in this sense, we find very easily that we are looking to the source, which is the Spirit of God. If we go into Isaiah chapter 11, we see what here is a prophecy about Jesus, but also that prophecy about Jesus isn't just isolated to you know, 2,000 years ago, Jesus did this or was like this. But Jesus, of course, is alive today, and the church is at work today, which is the body of Christ. Isaiah 11 says, "And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord." So, before we go on there, this is in the first instance a prophecy about Jesus. And it's not talking about, oh, it's just the Holy Ghost and it's nothing to do with you. You know, it's like I'm a marionette puppet and I'm just this lifeless puppet laying there. And when the Spirit of God wants to move me, he'll just move me and I had no control over it. No, he's not saying that at all. He's actually saying something else. He's saying there's a spirit in you that is you, the inner man, just as Jesus had that spirit when he was walking on the earth in him. And that spirit, your true being, who you are, is receptive, or can be receptive, but should be receptive to the Holy Ghost. And when you're receptive to the Holy Ghost, the fruits of the Spirit and the manifestation of the Spirit will be working through you in your own self. So it won't be like, oh well, I'll wait till the Holy Ghost moves me and then something will happen. What you need to do is you need to be exercising your own spirit by choices that you're making. You're using your will. So your will and mind is the bridge between the natural world and the spiritual world. And you need to be making choices and say, well, I'm not just going to sit here and watch TV or watch videos and be eating chocolates and things, and that's my choice. What you'll be doing is saying, I'm going to make a choice deliberately to allow spiritual inputs to be coming into me, so I'll actually go to church when I'm supposed to go to church. And, you know, I'm not just going to be just natural led in my life. Well, you won't be just natural led. You won't be natural led. You'll be spirit led first. And then as you do things, whether it is, okay, now it's time to watch TV, that you're going to be spiritual first. And that means even in your watching of videos, you're not going to be being led to watch incorrect things, for example, because the spirit within you that's developing and developed is going to be contrary to wrong inputs coming in. You'll actually, and you can know this, that there's a thing within you that you won't have a desire, oh, you know, well, I love this gratuitous, you know, stuff and that's it, and have a great longing for that. But rather, there's a desire for what's right and what's good, and you'll see that within you, the desires or the appetite is directed towards what's of a proper order and what's of a proper nature of spiritual things. And that'll be the result. That is, that your desires and your actions, your life, will outwork in doing good things. And your conscience also will be very active and aware. So you know, like, oh, well, that's a wrong thing. I won't do that. And you'll have power because you know what the scripture's saying, and you'll be resisting temptations. So this is talking about developing your inner man. And that developed inner man is developed because it's connected and exercised in itself. And of course, that's connected to the Holy Ghost, because the Holy Ghost is in us and we're born again people. So here we see in verse 2, it says, "And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him." So that's saying that this can be a state of continuous spiritual living. So when you're doing things, even the mundane activities you do in life, like have a shower or wash dishes or whatever, that those mundane activities, whilst they are things that we do, are going to be not contradictory, but in subservience to that you're a spiritual being exercised spiritually. So it won't be that natural things are ruling your thinking and natural things are ruling your life, but rather it's God first, spiritual first, and that those things come into their right order. So this is an important thing about getting things right from within and having your spirit exercised. Just like you can go and do dumbbells and weights and things and exercise your physical body, well, you can exercise your spirit. How do you do that? Well, you'll listen to preaching and speak the word and things like that. That's exercising your inner man. Here we see in verse 2, it says, "And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord." So these are the kind of attributes of a level of what natural people say is like intelligence and a natural level of abilities to do things and to be a developed person. Well, those things, if they come from the Spirit of God and you're doing things as a Christian, you're going to be coming into the full potential of your being. And verse 3 says, "And shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears." So that word quick means a mechanical process or a process of activity. And when something's alive then and moving, it has that process within it. If you're connected to the Spirit of God, what does it tell us in Genesis chapter 1 that the Spirit of God was doing? He was moving over the face of the waters. So the Holy Ghost is obviously a quickening force. It's action, it's spiritual gifts, it's understanding, it's building up, it's exercising. That's what happens within you. That's the quickening process that happens in us. And we are being quickened as we walk spiritually every day, of course. And so this level of activity is about respect or compliance to the things of God. That's what the fear of God is. It's obviously to hate evil. It's not prideful or rebellious, but it will be submissive and contrite. "And he shall not judge after the sight of his eye." So you're not saying, "Oh, I look over there at that particular wayward Pentecostal denomination and look, they're getting, you know, thousands of people along. Perhaps we need to drop down the Bible level and bring up the music level so that we can also have the crowds." But that would be judging after the sight of your eyes and not according to the quickening of the Spirit or the leading of God. So you can see that people can make decisions based on temporary success, so-called, the prosperity of fools. A temporary success, "Oh, look, you know, we've got this stuff happening. We've got this guy over from America. It's great. Oh, look at this. The offerings are going up through the roof." But, in fact, that kind of level of choices may indeed, and we can tell when we look spiritually and stay in line with the Word of God, is not necessarily the right way at all. Because when you start from the right foundation, that's where you're going to come into the full prosperity. And it's not necessarily, you know, click your fingers and it's all there. There's building and shaping and construction. Whether you can use the analogy of a building being built or of trees growing to their full maturity of being a big tree. It's a process. And here we find that the spiritual person, Jesus, and us today, should not be judging after the sight of our eyes. Neither should we be reproving after the hearing of our ears. That is to say, "Oh, well, that's wrong because I heard something or other." Now, what do we hear from the Spirit of God? Not what does, you know, the world around us, for example, there's people around that are dead set against the doctrine of tithing, not only, of course, in the world where they are dead set against tithing, because I don't want you to be giving money into the churches, but also there's Christians, so-called Christians maybe as well, saying, "Oh, well, you know, tithing's not right." Well, why are they saying that? Because around in the world, it's very politically incorrect to be saying you should be giving 10% of your money into the church. Like, "Oh, that's like a cult doctrine. 10%, look, they're really milking you." You know, even the government sometimes is not taking 10% of your money sometimes. So, you know, they're looking at it in the complete wrong light. And they're If you were going to listen to that kind of stuff, and there's plenty of garbage to listen to, I'm sure Satan can supply a lot of things. If you were to live after that way, you know, there's plenty of voices in the world, plenty of avenues for Satan to be talking about, you know, why bother with giving your money into the church? You could go and, you know, smoke and go to the casino and have a good time with the wine and the... and so on. You know, these kinds of things are what you can hear with your ears. Now, should we be reproving after the manner of, oh, well, the world's saying that, so that must be right because, you know, the media says that, and that's what some children are being taught in schools now. Like, oh, it's right. We should be, you know, thinking through that maybe, you know, churches are just after your money. Well, let's reprove and think after what the Spirit is saying, and maybe you'll find that the Spirit of God would be reproving them for saying don't give into the kingdom of God. In fact, that's what you would find in the Bible, the exact opposite. So reproving after the spiritual is very different to reproving after the hearing of the ears natural. So you can see there's a conflict going on between spiritual and carnal. So as churches are and Christians are listening to the wrong things, they're going to have a different kind of Christianity than if they're going to align with... Now, this is what the Word says. This is what the Holy Ghost is actually leading in. And they might have all the emotions and this and that and the proofs why that's right, but it's not really right if it's not based on the Word and not based on a long-term, being built up spiritual prosperity that is the eternal and, of course, the future reward. Verse 4 says, but with righteousness shall he judge the poor and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. So this word of God has power in it. The process of the word of God has power in it to be able to change things, to be able to bring people to repentance, to be able to break strongholds and all kinds of things. That's the power of the Word of God. The Word of God in itself, Jesus said that his words were spirit. His spiritual power is always going to outrank natural. You know, take the story of that fig tree Jesus came to. What won in the end? A fig tree that defied everything by not producing fruit and I'm the fig tree here, there's no figs for you? Or is it that Jesus rebuked that tree and within one night it withered from the roots up? What was more powerful, the word of Jesus or the power of that fig tree? That fig tree had been there obviously for years to be a big tree. It had all these leaves on it. Oh, the wonderful leaves on this great tree. Is that really going to stand when Jesus cursed that tree? See, what has more power? The natural tree or the word of Jesus that within one night changed that tree? See, the tree couldn't resist that. The tree had no power of itself. Oh, no, Jesus cursed me, but I'm going to stay here and be nice and green and flourishing. It doesn't work like that. We know the tree is subservient. The things of the world, the natural things, the temporal things are subservient to the eternal. And the words of God are spiritual. They're life. There's a quickening thing that's happening. Therefore, the light, and which is greater than darkness, the things of the spirit is greater than the things of the carnal and of the world, of just natural. So natural needs to conform to spiritual. That's the whole point. And that's true in ourselves as well. Let's look in Isaiah 42, because in Isaiah 42, we see then the long-term outworking of that process. Isaiah 42 says, behold my servant whom I uphold, mine elect in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him, he shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. Now, you can start from that start of that chapter and say, well, this is obviously a prophecy about Jesus. No, this is Jesus who God's soul delighteth in, and, you know, Jesus was raised up to bring good news into the earth. We know that because even when Jesus was born, those angels said, goodwill unto men. So God's got a good plan for men. That's great. But notice here that it says he, after the colon, so Jesus lived his life and ascended into heaven. So Jesus is in heaven now. So you can ask the question, well, it says he shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. How is he doing that? Well, obviously the word is the standard of judging, the law is the standard of judgment. So we've got the word, and that word's going forth, but we've got the Holy Ghost as well. It's like energizing that whole process and using people to do that. So we've got the Holy Ghost and the word. So Jesus bringing forth judgment to the Gentiles today is obviously the Holy Ghost working through the church is how Jesus is doing it. So Jesus is just in heaven, but the Holy Ghost is here actually helping doing the work, and people are the active units, the active agents in this process, the people of God. So we are agents of God, or ambassadors, as the Bible says, bringing forth the judgment to the Gentiles, because we've got the Bible and belief and spirit. We're spirit beings who are connected to and should be filled to overflowing with the Holy Ghost. In verse 2, again, you can see this is a prophecy about Jesus in his personal ministry back when he was walking around in Judea. It says, he shall not cry nor lift up nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. So Jesus wasn't around just pushing himself in a natural sense. Oh, quickly, let's bribe all these people and we'll get a crowd there and we'll, you know. He wasn't doing it naturally. He came with the Spirit of God and he's just, I'm here preaching this message. Verse 3, a bruised reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. Now this is a powerful prophecy because it's saying there's a pedigree or a continuation through time of the work of God that doesn't actually stop. When on the day of Pentecost the Holy Ghost was outpoured on the church, that didn't stop. Oh well, Peter and Paul, they've died now. I guess the days of the Holy Ghost are over. We're just going to have to live in monasteries and hope to survive for the next, you know, 1,000 years or whatever with hiding away. That's not right. Now he said, a bruised reed shall he not break. In other words, even that which was at the weakest point, and the smoking flax shall he not quench. So, oh, the fire looks like it's almost out. Are we judging things by what we see, or judging things according to the word, according to the spirit? If the smoking flax is still yet smoking, the fire can be brought back forth. So the fire has not gone away. The Holy Ghost is not absent now in history. The Holy Ghost is still here. You might say, well, it's only like a bit of a smoky, smouldering bit of a grass fire. You know, that's not much of a Holy Ghost outpouring in history nowadays, it seems. Are we looking at things seen or at things not seen? Because if you look at things not seen, you're going to be saying, I see fire and God wants to have an outpouring. If you're looking at things seen, you'll say, the church is dead. You see, that's the difference between reproving or looking after the manner of what you see with your eyes naturally or looking spiritually. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. Is God bringing a revival of the gospel of, hey, this word and spirit doctrine is actually the right thing to bring it forth to the nations? Is that his plan? Well, obviously it says he shall bring forth judgment unto truth. Verse 4, he shall not fail nor be discouraged till. So that's not talking about when Jesus was just walking around. It's talking about today. It's talking about these times. He shall not fail nor be discouraged till. That is, in time, till something happens. He has set judgment in the earth, and the isles shall wait for his law. Did Jesus go to the islands to bring the scripture? Did Jesus come to Australia and preach in Australia? No, he obviously didn't. In the past, but today we know when the gospel came with the first fleet, that the gospel came to come to the islands. It came to the islands of the Pacific, came around the place. It's still coming today. The word of God is to be established in the ends of the earth. Verse 5, thus saith God the Lord, he that created the heavens and stretched them out, he that spread forth the earth and that which cometh out of it, he that giveth breath unto the people upon it and spirit to them that walk therein, I the Lord, have called thee in righteousness and will hold thine hand and will keep thee and give thee for a covenant of the people for a light of the Gentiles. So the church is being raised up to be a witness around to the Gentiles, to open the blind eyes. There's a lot of blindness. They think, oh, we can see now because we've got heaps of knowledge and, oh, you know, we've come to a lot of scientific breakthroughs. No, he's got to open blind eyes. Oh, we've got our study of Scripture is advanced. We've had a lot of time to study the Scripture. But if they're not studying with right studying, that is, they're in unbelief about, you know, how to interpret Scripture and explaining away being filled with the Spirit and all this stuff, that's blind eyes. Well, what's got to happen to that? It's got to open those blind eyes. This whole denomination's teaching against the infilling of the Spirit. That's blind eyes. To bring out the prisoners from the prison. There's a lot of Christian people are trapped in wrong thinking. Oh, God doesn't heal today. You know, just do the best you can do, I guess. You know, you don't really have to even go to church, as long as you're spiritual. No, they're prisoners in wrong thinking. And then that sit in darkness out of the prison house. I am the Lord. That is my name and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images, that is to false other systems, including psychological self-help systems that are not based on Scripture. They're graven images. They're like bad imitations of the gospel. Behold, the former things are come to pass and new things do I declare before they spring forth. I tell you of them. We are walking in a spiritual outpouring, actually, in the New Testament time. And God is showing things to his people. So we need to now understand a bit about this area of what God is showing to his people and how he's doing it. Because he says, I tell you of them. So it's not like not telling us. Verse 10, sing unto the Lord a new song and his praise from the end of the earth. Ye that go down to the sea, and all that is therein, the isles, and the inhabitants thereof. And let's skip to verse 12. Let them give glory unto the Lord, and declare his praise in the islands. So that's not at Jerusalem or in Judea. He's talking about in the faraway parts of the earth, that his work can be manifest. What's he talking about? He's obviously talking about what you would find in Pentecostal doctrine. You would find people praising God, coming to understand things and the operation of spiritual gifts and things like that. And you can see that because they're singing songs and declaring things and having a respect to God's law and things like that. We also see in the prophecy, in the time frame, verse 13 says, the Lord shall go forth as a mighty man. He shall stir up jealousy like a man of war. He shall cry, yea, roar. He shall prevail against his enemies. See, there's enemies all around at the moment. We know that. Verse 14, I have long time holden my peace. I have been still and refrained myself. Now will I cry like a travailing woman. I will destroy and devour at once. See, God is coming to do a move. You might say, oh, the secularistic way of thinking is just taken over. You know, everyone now doesn't really believe God, really. Maybe a few churches are clinging on to the vain hope that there could be a few healings or something. They're like little crumbs or scraps. Oftentimes they've got to exaggerate their stories to even try and make it sound plausible. Like, well, we did have a healing somewhere. No, this is talking about reversing all that. Because it's saying that God is suddenly to move and to stir up and to come against enemies and to break completely a different way. Verse 14, I have long time holding my peace. In other words, there's been apparently not much action. I have been still and refrained myself. Now will I cry like a travailing woman. I will destroy and devour at once. I'll make waste mountains and hills. Now, spiritually, it's talking about whole things built up and entities of things, institutions and whatever. I will make waste mountains and hills and dry up all their herbs. And I will make the rivers islands and I will dry up the pools. And I will bring the blind by a way they knew not. Now, the blind here he's talking about is those that have been in the darkness, those that have not understood, because blindness is like ignorance, I will lead them in paths that they have not known. That's talking about teaching them the right things. I will make darkness light before them and crooked things straight. These things will I do unto them and not forsake them. So those Christian few, the remnants, the last few Christians, apparently not understanding properly, come to understanding, and that God leads the right way. Verse 17, then he talks about the false. You know, there's a lot of false going forth and doing all this garbage stuff. They shall be turned back. They shall be greatly ashamed that trust in graven images. You know, oh, we've got our big ministry thing going on here, but it's all flesh, it's all carnal. That say to the molten images, ye are our gods. Hear ye deaf, and look ye blind, that ye may see. And then he describes who is the right people spiritually. Who is blind but my servant, or deaf as my messenger that I sent? Who is blind as he that is perfect, and blind as the Lord's servant? Now, why is he saying that? Because if you're God's servant today, you cannot be looking to the world's, and it's talking about carnal churches too, their way of operating and saying, oh, look to that to follow that model. Now, you've got to be blind to that. You've got to be deaf to their methods. Oh, well, this is how to be a Christian today. We've got to sort of, you know, become like the world more. And you can't be like that. You've got to be blind to that, because you've got to conform to God, to his leading, not how they're saying, but be perfect by following the word of God. Who is blind as the Lord's servant, seeing many things but thou observest not, opening the ears but he heareth not? And it says that the Lord here, the Lord is well pleased for his righteousness sake, he will magnify the law and make it honorable. Notice now there's a choice between being blind to God's law and looking to the carnal things, or the reverse of that is looking to God's law but being blind to the carnal things. And he gives a prophecy about magnifying the law, bringing back the word of God to a place of preeminence and honour. And you see in verse 22 it says, but this is a people robbed and spoiled. They are all of them snared in holes. They are hid in prison houses. They are for a prey and none delivereth, for a spoil and none saith, restore. Didn't we just read before that God is leading blind people to see? God has got to work for his people to come out of darkness and to bring about great changes for the people of God. We'll leave off that part and just go into Revelation chapter 3 as we come towards the conclusion here. Revelation chapter 3. Revelation 3 and verse 20. So Jesus is coming to the church, to the Christian people. And it says, behold. Now, behold means look. So can you be blind to Jesus? Well, obviously, there's some people that are blind to Jesus, but he says, behold means be not blind to Jesus. I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice, so he's saying obviously there's people deaf to Jesus, because it says if any man hear my voice, meaning there's some that will not or do not hear his voice. And obviously it's talking about the spiritual outworking, because as well, spirit is speaking. If any man hear my voice and open the door, he's saying there's an action required. It's not enough to say, oh well, if the Lord's going to outpour his spirit, we'll just sit here and wait for him to outpour his spirit, and then when it happens, that'll be like the open door. That's not what he said. He said that it was up to the believer to open the door. It's like those blind that he's leading. They don't say, oh well, I'll just wait till something happens and then I'll start walking and being led and have my eyes opened. No, you've got to actually like open your eyes and start walking. You've got to say, okay, something's happened in me, this quickening thing went king, 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 my eyes opened up. Like a mechanical process almost went like like, you know, this outworking, and it's like I became activated, you know, like I'm coming online, and I become like, yes, I see this. I start to get to understand these things. That's because the Spirit of God is working and it's activating in your spirit, and you're saying, yes, I am willing. I receive of the Word. I'm getting this. Yes, I will come to church. I will grow. I will listen. Oh, yes, He's leading me out of the dark place, out of the prison house. Things were not right. The church was in an abysmal place. My own Christian understanding was so little. Like, I had such small understandings about things, but he's opening it up. He's bringing us to a higher level. Verse 20, he says, if you'll hear and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. So Jesus brings in a great abundant prosperity supply, great blessing of good things. And verse 22 says, he that hath an ear, so what kind of ear is he talking about? He's saying, have you got this sort of thing sticking up on the side of your head? Is that what he's talking about when he says, hath an ear? Or is he talking about your spirit? Man's ability to be receptive to what the Spirit is saying. That's what he's talking about, isn't it? He that hath an ear, like your open heart, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Is the Spirit of God talking to the churches overall? Is he talking? Is he speaking to us? Is he present today? Is the flax still smoking? Is there the possibility that God is still at work since the revivals of the past? Is he still present? Or did he abandon earth? Did it say, oh, at a certain time the Holy Ghost shall go away? No, he said he'll be with you forever. Jesus said it. He'll be with you forever. He's going to be with us. He's still here today. He will be with us. We can rely on that. So we know the Holy Ghost is here. Then it's up to us to say, okay, he's here. Let's get open and activated in this and hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. Now, the Bible tells us that he's pouring out his Spirit on all flesh. That means the possibility is that if you're a woman, because he said on handmaidens, if you're a person that's like an old person, because he said on old men, or you're a child, he said on the children, if you're in any so-called minority category, you're in a faraway place, well, guess what? The Bible didn't leave you out. It said the Holy Ghost outpouring was for you because you're part of all flesh. So don't feel like you're inferior. Remember, he's coming to the blind, not to the great wizards and seers, magician people of the world. No, that's what I'm talking about, those people that pretend to know about explaining the Bible, but in fact are into all kinds of magical arts, actually. No, he's coming to the blind. That is, ultimately, you've got to be blind to their way, but opening your eyes to see the spiritual way, because you're not really the blind. You've come into the place of seeing with clarity what the Spirit is leading and come into the truth. And yes, he does show dreams and visions, does have signs available that you can interpret, because he says that as part of that passage, that he'll show signs and wonders. Well, you can actually say, oh, I recognise the signs. I recognise that. I know that there's a spiritual door that's being opened. I can perceive that. That's because you're spiritually awakened and spiritually not blind. You're spiritually seeing. The world might say, oh, you're a blind follower of religion. No, you're spiritually seeing. You're circumspect. Your eyes, your inner man is activated. Now, if this is true, we can begin now then to get into alignment, and we'll finish with the verse 1 Corinthians chapter 14 verse 26. Because God is not necessarily saying, alright, well, you've got to start off now being an apostle and all this great responsibility is on you, you've got to be walking around like Jesus did, all this great stuff. No, we all need to start exercising from where we've come from, where we're at, where we're going, exercising in the spiritual things. So if you exercise in the spiritual things, you'll develop. And 1 Corinthians chapter 14 verse 26 shows us, he says that when we come to church, that we should be ready to come to church. And it says here, verse 26, how is it then, brethren? Like, what should it be like? When you come together, so when we come to church, now we know we have in church, we have like time to sing hymns and songs, choruses, time to do offerings, time to, you know, talk about what the church is doing, time to have the word preached. You know, we have Bible reading. Sometimes we celebrate the Lord's Supper. We have prayer and different things. These are things of church. But there's a part of church here. It says, when you come together, this is one thing that you'll find can happen. It says, every one of you. So there's something where the congregation can get involved in, not just a person from the front talking or people singing together, but every one of you. So individually now, there's different activations that we can have. And he says, hath a psalm, hath a doctrine, hath a tongue, hath a revelation, hath an interpretation. Let all things be done unto edifying. So he's saying that there's different things that we could have in a time when we are able to be moved by the Spirit of God and to move in the Spirit, that each one of us has an opportunity to maybe quote a passage out or sing a little song or say, oh, the Lord, you know, teaches in his word that we should, you know, something, a doctrine, or have a tongue. You know, you speak out a little tongues message. Or you might say, well, this week I had this dream about, you know, this, and the Spirit of God gave me this dream, and you can just share that, say that. So we're not talking about people hogging the time to, oh, we're going to have, you know, 1 hour from talking from each person and we're going to be all having this talk fest. No, he's talking about things being done decently in order, but the possibility is that each Christian person who's Spirit-filled can come to church and have a little thing, a little seed to contribute that each one of us can offer of how the Lord is speaking to us or through us. And that it's not, oh, I'm waiting now for the Spirit of God to move and then my mouth is going to start articulating words out and it's sort of activated, oh, I'm like a robot here, I have no control. The Spirit of God is just possessing me and words coming out of my mouth. Oh. It's not like that. It's saying that if you're a spiritual person, you can, your mind and your spirit is active. It's active during the week times. It's active in Sunday morning before you come to church. It's active as you're sitting in the service. And as these things are happening, because you're a person that's spiritual, it's like, oh yeah, I just understood something, or God is speaking or doing something. And you can say and have that opportunity to speak out a little thing. You say like, oh, I just really realised God really loves me. Or something like that. It's a doctrine, it's a revelation or something like that. And as we can understand these things, that's coming to the next level of the blind being led to see and the spiritually prisoners coming out of the prison, the spiritual people that had nothing coming into developing into having something, because the Holy Ghost has put little gifts, I say little because they're like seeds of gifts in each one of us to be able to begin to develop in them. And you know, it goes beyond this, because some people might have a gift where they can pray for someone and a thing happens. Now obviously when you just have in the congregation the time of just having the what we'll call vocal gifts, that is we all could say something, that's just saying something. There's other times where, and you can develop into these things, where obviously it's going to be like, you can put your hands on someone and pray for them, and you have a special gift in doing that. You may have that special gift, and there's a healing or a miracle that happens. Well, there's different, more advanced categories, but we can see this a start for us, because it says, and I'll read the verse again, verse 26, how is it then, brethren? How can we start? How can we be first doing things to begin to activate into seeing spiritually active people? When you come together, every one of you hath, so it could be you have a psalm, hath a doctrine, hath a tongue, hath a revelation, hath an interpretation. whatever it might be, a little thing. Now, that interpretation actually may only come as a result of someone else giving out a message in tongues. So it's not like necessarily, oh, I, you know, 3 weeks ago prepared that in 3 weeks' time I'm going to come and give this message. It can be quite on the spot, possibly, that, oh, yeah, I just understood something, or you know. But what we can see from this is that we all can be useful and used in the kingdom of God, and we all have an opportunity right. to be able to minister in the congregation of the Lord. So it's encouraging for us to know that the Holy Ghost, he's still at work, and that the flax might be just smoking, but he can kindle or fan that into flame back up. And it's not like, oh, there's no fire there, but the fire potential is there for us to come up and to be activated to the next level of spiritual activity. We're going to have a time now of waiting on the Holy Ghost before we have the Lord's Supper. And today, I know, like as we hear every Sunday, Pastor Craig may give a little word or whatever. And we can use that as an example for us to hear how Pastor Craig has walked in spiritual gifts, and for us to ourselves be open to give a word. And, you know, this is not just for today, but ongoing into the future. So let's be open to what the Lord is doing.